Legislators are beginning to take a look at rewriting parts of the state tax on natural gas during next year's session, in particular removing some elements of the current tax structure that could end up reducing the state's revenue if gas were actually put in a pipeline from the North Slope to the Lower 48. APRN's Dave Donaldson reports.
At the time the current oil and gas taxes were written, legislators set the gas portion aside so they could focus on oil. But with the new possibility of a gas line, a problem's come to the surface. It's a floating tax rate called progressivity that collects more revenue as profits rise, and it falls as profits go back down. When it was last before the legislature, progressivity was described as a way to share high profits while providing a floor to guarantee a base tax when those profits fell. It still applies to a combination of oil and gas production. House Finance Co-Chair Mike Honker explains that the ideal revenue return is based on a barrel of oil costing six times more than 1,000 cubic feet of gas, because that's where they produce an equal amount of energy.
And the tax is based on allocating your costs on that energy equivalency. Now, the fact is that oil is selling at a great premium over gas. When you have this disconnect between price equivalency and energy equivalency, the state loses money on the taxes.
The existence of the progressivity problem was first pointed out in a report by analyst Dan Dickinson during the regular session this year. He showed that as oil and gas prices deviated from the 6-to-1 ratio, the tax base was diluted. Using an example where oil prices were 13 times higher than gas prices, he showed the state would lose $70 million a year. That's the same as no tax on gas and still a reduction in the oil production tax and lower state revenue. Detractors predicted that a wide price spread would not happen often and it would normalize around the expected 6-to-1 ratio. However, lawmakers are now looking at how wide the spread has gotten since February, when gas prices dropped and oil began its upswing. Now the gas-to-oil price spread is 18-to-1. Senate Finance Co-Chair Bert Stedman said if today's spread were an annual average, the total cash loss to the state would be closer to $800 million.
We have a huge, huge potential impact to the Treasury. And when you look at the global energy demand, with the world awash in natural gas and oil becoming more valuable, it appears that that normal 6-to-1 energy equivalency between gas and oil historically is going to be a thing of the past.
As a simple fix, members are talking about a separation of oil and gas taxes. They call it decoupling. That way, each resource would be calculated separately so neither resource could dilute the value of the other. Dickinson suggests they should be cautious if they do that, however. He says, since Alaska's progressivity is not widely used in the world and has only been in place for 3 years, there's no base of knowledge to judge its long-term effect.
It's clear that people don't know precisely what the best solution is, and a simple decoupling is going to unfortunately may have consequences for the whole reason that we went from a gross tax to a net tax back in 2006.
Dickinson says lawmakers must understand that separate accounting for oil and gas is not simple. Accounting systems make it difficult to keep apart the cost of oil and gas production from return on investment in each resource. Stedman agrees. He says gas has to be looked at as a standalone tax source, but he says that doesn't mean the entire tax structure needs to be rewritten. Dickinson's under contract to provide some fiscal models for legislators. They'll be able to see for themselves the immediate effects of decoupling. That'll be available in November. The Revenue Department did not respond to several requests to give the Palin administration's position on the legislative concerns. I'm Dave Donaldson in Juneau.